Speaker, I rise to lend my voice in support of the 2005-2006 Appropriations Act. Mr. Speaker, the order of speakers, you'll notice, have been changed. I was supposed to have gone before my colleague to my left, but after that recent performance of a soi-disant economist, a wannabe prime minister, me as a very humble teacher, community worker, just would not have been able to respond to all those mumble jumbo and all those figures. I instead will try in my very simple way to stick to what I know and try to explain what is happening in St. Lucia within the sphere of my responsibility to the people of St. Lucia. Instead, what you saw was a lesson 101 in economics, in understanding, in explaining the basis, what is contained in the appropriations bill, as was done quite adequately, quite admirably, by the Minister for Commerce and Tourism. For after all, he is the one with responsibility for the main levers, the main drivers of the economy. Mr. Speaker, what I do know, however, from my very simple layman's term, without trying to pretend I know anything about economics, because I don't, is that we hear very frequently that the government is taken to task and people attempt to ridicule our opponents in some sections of the media, that the word economic transition, economic transformation, when we use it, they try to ridicule it. Oh, it's an economy in transition, and blah, 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 and this is wrong, and this is negative. Mr. Speaker, I am satisfied in my very simple way, and the people of St. Lucia, based on the provisions in this year's budget, last year's budget, coming to this year, know and understand that this is an economy which is in successful transition. It has been transformed, quite simply, Mr. Speaker, because the banana farmers, because the peasants, the people who are the farmhands, are the very same ones who turn to become taxi drivers. They are the very same ones, Mr. Speaker, who become the small contractors who will get work on the roads projects of his government. They are the same ones who become the builders, having abandoned the farms, because right now it is too onerous, the standards are too high, and they can't meet it. Mr. Speaker, it doesn't matter what we say, what we do. The fact of the matter is that anyone attempting to produce bananas with a yield of less than 15 tons per acre is doomed to failure. You are not going to succeed. And you cannot get a yield of 15 tons per acre on marginal lands, on steep slopes, without irrigation, without a certain amount of agricultural input which requires capital. And so what this government has done is taken the people of St. Lucia into its trust, explained to them without bluff, without fanfare, simply saying, we want you to take over your banana industry. Those are the measures we shall put in place. That is what you shall do. But in the meantime, we are convinced that given world trends, given the way the economies of the world are going, the direction is going, that our future as a small country is primarily in the services industry. Services such as tourism, as telecoms, and other related activities of construction and manufacturing and so on. That is where we go in. So, Mr. Speaker, this budget, to me, provides the people of St. Lucia with numerous and ample opportunities to make that linkage, to make that transition from what they're doing into some other new spheres of activity. Mr. Speaker, in the face of seemingly intractable problems, and sometimes it does seem to be intractable, one does feel a bit weighed down with water. It's a challenge. With the roads, they were challenging. With cows on the road, with crime, those problems are real challenges of development. But working as a team, on the leadership of our Prime Minister, who understands and makes the resources available within the strictures of the budget, we have been able to get a plan, devise a plan, so that we could go forward. And so in this regard, Mr. Speaker, when I'm questioned, well, you're being bashed every day on certain sections of the media, people making demands about roads and so on, do you sleep? How do you feel? I feel no how, Mr. Speaker. You know why I feel no how? Because I have the support of my colleagues. I know we have a plan, and I know if we want to stick to it and we work to it. But primarily, if we explain to the people of St. Lucia, they will understand. I, Mr. Speaker, have a deep and abiding trust in the fairness of the people of this country. And if you come to them and you explain what it is you want to do, why you cannot do it now, never mind all of the bluff and all of the talk and so on, the people will not fall for that. Mr. Speaker, this morning I saw a performance from the member from Miku North. He's somebody I have great admiration for his intellectual capacity, his presentations in the House. But his presentation today was nothing short of bizarre. It was just bizarre. He took the budget, and the proposals in the budget were also positive. The proposals in the budget were also realistic. The proposals in the budget were also geared and focused towards employment generation, which was so obvious for any child to see. And yet the debate was being taken in a direction about treachery to rural communities and treachery to farmers and so on and so on and so forth. It just made no sense. And so, Mr. Speaker, that is the precursor of things to come when the campaign starts. And that is the kind of thing that we will have to be able to put our thinking caps on and to think carefully of the way we communicate to the people of this country. Because we know we have the answers. We know we are doing the work. And therefore, we must craft very creative and very responsive ways of speaking and communicating to the people of this country. Otherwise, the bluff. Otherwise, the one-liners. Otherwise, the usual cliches. That is what is going to catch the national imagination. And we can't allow that to happen, Mr. Speaker, because the people of this country, the people of this country, right, are depending upon us to take this country forward to see what we can do. And so with these words of introduction, Mr. Speaker, I wish to say that this budget is a budget of hope. This budget is a budget which is visionary. This budget is a budget which gives me optimism and should give all of St. Lucians optimism, so that when we sit on our weekly constituency days, the people who confront us, the biggest problem that confronts us is that people, young people coming and ask for jobs. And this is the answer for those jobs. Mr. Speaker, the responsibilities within my portfolios are essentially that of the provision of the road infrastructure. That is primary task of my ministry. And so that road infrastructure, Mr. Speaker, represents an important national asset which is critical to this nation's social and economic development. We are the first to recognize, Mr. Speaker, that there was a backlog in the maintenance of that infrastructure. As well, Mr. Speaker, as the impending challenge to get the infrastructure ready for World Cup 2007. Mr. Speaker, added to that, we've had a phenomenal increase in housing settlements and residential communities all over St. Lucia. That, Mr. Speaker, has had a resultant effect of many, many more roads in various communities spread all over the islands. Roads which in most cases were built at a substandard level. When you add to that, Mr. Speaker, the phenomenal increase in the number of vehicles, not just in terms of numbers, but also in sheer size and axle weight, pounding on those roads, which in the first place were perhaps never designed with that carrying capacity. Then finally, the stretch of bad weather that we've had the last 18 months of St. Lucia, you would realize and you'd sympathize with us that the maintenance functions of the Ministry of Communications and Works were severely stretched, challenged, almost to breaking point. However, we made a promise in December, just after the end of the rainy season. We said to the people of St. Lucia, we've had those circumstances, and therefore there is a deficit, there is a backlog of maintenance. Please understand with us. Please be patient. As long as soon as there's a turn in the weather, an upturn in the weather, you shall see a significant difference in what we do. Mr. Speaker, what is the response? The response is a number of programs crafted and contained to be implemented, not at this time, but even going forward now. It's just been pointed out to me, it's not actually Mr. Speaker in the chair, but actually Mr. Deputy Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker. Mr. Speaker, among your programs of the ministry going forward are the provisions contained in this year's budget. Is number one, the Tertiary Roads Rehabilitation Project, or the Ecotourism Roads. Those roads are in every major community in St. Lucia. They are ongoing right now. They are being publicized. I hope to do a tour with the media, and I've been speaking about them, and given pressures of time, I trust that every member here will do their own trumpeting and advertise the roads in their own community. And therefore, I shall not spend too much more time on those roads, except to say that they are critically important as an economic asset. Because at the end of each of those roads, Mr. Speaker, there must be some ecotourism attraction. That is why the French give us money. So the Debara Road, for instance, it is to serve the enhancement, the development, to get more people to come to the Grandons to be watching. The Irad Road is at Irad Estate, is at the end of it, and therefore there's a waterfall there so people can go. The Fosse-Jacques Road to go up to Mini so that you can go to the marine forest. And so it goes on and on. But also critically important, Mr. Speaker, is not just for ecotourism. The Vanasarot Road, which is going up to the Midet-Tetchime rainforest. That road is also serving agricultural areas. The Venus Road, agricultural area. The Erad Road, there are estates on both sides, so it's serving the dual purpose of tourism and agriculture. Now, what more demonstration could you want of a holistic, well-thought-out plan of development that would take this money, invest in infrastructure, so that you could serve the economic well-being and advancement of the country? Mr. Speaker, the other program I quickly wish to go to is that of the East Coast Road. That road is the main arterial road linking the hotel belt in the north of the island and Yonora Airport. That road has been the subject of much contention in recent times, and the only reason, by way of explanation, why it fell into such a state of disrepair is because it was one of the RDP series of roads. And as we know, the RDP 1 and 2 roads had some delays, and therefore the consequential effect was that the other roads, 4, 5, and 6, got held up, as it were. In the process, the roads incrementally deteriorated, and so it had this negative impact. What we did, we responded by giving a direct purchase to a firm to reconstruct, Mr. Deputy Speaker, the worst affected 5 kilometers of the road in the Richmond Valley. Now the ministry, in preparation to expedite the works, have now prepared all the tender documents to go to the market with two tenders. One to reconstruct the road from the Mongiro Street Bridge to the Prale Bridge. There's going to be complete reconstruction to the same standard that the RDP 1, 2, and 3 have been done. And then to do more cosmetic work, which is the resealing of a road from a Prale Bridge to Viewfort. the allocation is there. We hope we can go to tender anytime by as early as June. And so we could do this over the next 18 months in preparation for 2007. The Castries Grosley Highway. I've been getting some very interesting correspondence on this road. Mr. Speaker, you would recall in budgets passed that some provisions were made for a very elaborate design which would have given us a 20-year solution to the problems on that road. Anybody living up in the north, doing business in the city, would have to face that daily commute, and that's a problem. We've simplified it now, Mr. Speaker, and we hope we can get some money from Acuity Fund, a pre-approved loan, and so those are the 8 elements of a new design feature. The new design features are as follows, Mr. Speaker. We will begin to reconstruct the road from Paul's Gas Station to Shock Junction. From Shock Junction, we will put what is called a climbing lane along the road going up the hill next to the Wyndham Hotel. So you get an extra lane, so that when slow moving and lorries and so on, we'll have an extra lane to pass. From that point onwards to Grosley, it'll be mostly cosmetic road of just trying to resurface with one or two things for laybys and bus stops, etc. Third key element, Mr. Speaker, is that we shall try to squeeze in 4 lanes from Paul's Gas Station as far as Sanders without any significant additional land take, because that is what caused the last project to fail. The land take was exorbitantly pricey, it was too costly, we couldn't do it, it became cost prohibitive. So we'll try with the space that we have there. It is not a highway, it is really an urban road linking to urban centers, and therefore if you drive at a decent pace, we believe we could put in 4 lanes there. We shall be putting 4 pedestrian overpasses, or 4 bridges for the pedestrians to cross. You know how busy that road can be. One by the Tourist Board Brydens, one by the Castries Comprehensive School, one at Sandals to link back to Gilderwoods Mall, and one at the Shock Junction, so persons can go over and just get things. A key feature of the new design will be a number of roundabouts. The roundabouts are critical because of the other point which I wish to make, in that the first, where the 4 lanes are, there will be a median separating northbound and southbound traffic. We believe that part of the problems on the road is that people cross from one lane to the other, that slows down the traffic and also has the potential of causing accidents. And therefore what we will do is we're going to put filter lanes, so if you are southbound, you go to the next roundabout, as is the international practice for travel, you get into the stream of traffic and you turn around and run about and change directions. That's what we do. Essentially, Mr. Speaker, that is the simplicity of what we've done. Minimizing land take, as I said. That plan has been shared with the Chamber of Commerce. We think it has met with their endorsement. And so over the next few weeks following the passage of this budget, we shall be sharing it with all stakeholders so persons get an idea of what we're talking about. So much for the Castries to Grosley Highway, which we hope to complete, by the way, before 2006 in preparation for the World Cup. The RDP roads, Mr. Speaker, are ongoing, and the contracts have been awarded. 1 and 2 are now complete, except for 1 or 2 snags in terms of accesses to people and maybe 1 or 2 retaining walls. We hope that Road D and Road C, Road D being the road from Grand-Rivière back to Babono, and Road C being the road from Topiton to Diglo, will by the middle of the year be completed. It's a very advanced stage of completion, so the contractors now can go and focus on Roads A and B in the Mabuya Valley. I'm going to come back to the RDP to explain 1 or 2 other issues related to RDP 1 and 3, but let me just go through this quick list of major capital works. Mr. Speaker is back. Welcome back, Mr. Speaker. One of the key failings of our road system is our inability to financially keep up the required maintenance regime. The road is designed, and the engineer says to you, you've got 10 years of this road of use at that level, but after the 10th year, you should come back and reseal the road and put in a maintenance regime. Mr. Speaker, we know we are a small country, limited resources. We cannot always keep up with that regime. However, the West Coast Road, having been built some 12 or 15 years ago, I'm not sure, is now at a stage where we must take a strategic approach, Mr. Speaker, to resealing that road, lest it gets to the same level of deterioration as the West, as East Coast Road. We won't allow that to happen. We'll take a strategic approach. And so the allocation is in this year's estimates for $338,000 to do the two critical areas of resurfacing, which is the Kachime back to Soufre, and from the Ticolan to the Lakwa Hilltop. So we shall reseal those two pieces this year, and next year, from cul-de-sac going up the top of the hill, we shall do that this year, and next year we shall do the rest. Mr. Speaker, the sixth big program is not new. We've had it here before. But the difficulty with it is that it is tied up with the usual difficulties we are experiencing with the bureaucracy of the EU in Barbados. But it's a very important program, Mr. Speaker. It's a program of agricultural road in support of particularly banana farmers. And the EU have been very stringent in terms of the requirements for determining which roads get priority. They wanted those roads to be tied to the irrigation effort, one, and they wanted to ensure, as I said before, that those roads were leading to farms with a certain minimum yield per acre. And so out of that process of a scientific deduction of looking at those roads, of identifying them, given also the regard for post-construction maintenance, we have taken the approach that what we'll do in constructing those roads will be concrete strips, very simple, so that the post-construction effort of maintenance will be very simple. And so we've got $4 million under the SFA with the EU, and which is an advanced stage of tendering, and we hope we can do those 11 roads, which are the 11 priority roads. We are just waiting for the no objection from the EU for us to tender. And that is going to be a road for the first time linking an old agricultural dirt road from Chassin to Debara and opening up a hole to the roads. From Comba, going back to Forestier. Discope, which is the Denry Grenvier area. In the Miku area, the Paulin Road, the Pito Road in Patience, as the Pito Farm Road where Pat Joseph has his farm. The Malze Sarot Road, the Lanfor Road, the Appion Road, where Peter Seeley has his farm up in Chassin, the road in the Denry Valley in Tunis, and lastly, the Diglo Mark Road. So those 11 roads, critical farm roads, we hope with a cost of $4 million, determined by the Ministry of Agriculture in consultation, but before have no bananas, unfortunately. So those are banana roads in support of banana farmers in this country. So when we hear the opposition speak about betrayal, when we hear the opposition referring to us neglecting the banana farmers, nothing is further than the truth, that this is a fact and a reality, that this road is interestingly, Mr. Speaker, primarily opposition territory, that is the banana belt, and that is what we are responding to. So, Mr. Speaker, as I said, we made a promise that after the rainy season, we were going to take a more strategic approach in terms of what we want to do. But this has to be done within the context of some other programs from our own in-house resources. Those resources come from two sources. From our capital allocation of $4 million, which is a budget line item called Recon and Rehab. The second one is a complementary one from our current budget of $1 million thereabouts, which is our potholing unit. Mr. Speaker, since December to now, only the most blinkered, only the most biased would not admit that there has been a drastic change and there's been some impact made in terms of what we've done since the rains have stopped. Mr. Speaker, it's not usual at this time of year to be awarding contracts. We know how the government funding cycle works. However, notwithstanding that, the Prime Minister, understanding the situation that we were in, the Prime Minister being sensitive to the realities of a need for the infrastructure in the country and the backlog, has done all he could to ensure that there were additional resources allocated, firstly for the recon and rehab, so we can keep our potholing units fully operational during this normally slow period. In addition, he's made monies available that within the strictures of the Finance Act notwithstanding, we were able to do a number of direct purchases and get a number of roads done. Mr. Speaker, just by way of information, just let me share. The potholing units, as I said, we can be very proud of what we've done in that period. La Clary, Bizet, Entrepot, Cicero, Cedars, Sunny Acres, York Hill, Castries Grosley Highway, Fouacho, Pave, continuing on the West Coast Road to complement Carl Williams, City of Castries, Latok Road, Moshi Deramo, Bokaj Kakoshiwa, Babono Mill Road, Labon, Piat, Bonte Main Road, Mondi Nobalata. That's only some of the roads in the north that we've been able to respond to for our polling units. In the south, Pi Saltibus, for which we had to actually put the potholing unit there for a full 7 weeks. But we're satisfied for the Pi Saltibus road. That road, by the way, Mr. Speaker, is RDP 6, and we've written to the Caribbean Development Bank asking them to send an appraisal mission so that we could begin to restart our road development program, and that would be put under consideration along with another one in the Miko South area. The Balka Road, Beaufort Town, Aubrey, and Auger Industrial Area. Those roads have all gotten attention by our potholing unit in this period. Outsource works, Mr. Speaker. Outsource works on the RECOM. We've done the Cul-de-Sac Road, the Windward Islands Road, the Carrolly Road, Vanna Millet, Belle, and the very vexing Riviera Meter Road. All of those roads are right now getting attention by contractual outsource works. In the southern region, similarly, the road at Daba, Grace Woodlands, Cantonment, Palmerston Souffre, Victoria Monjac, and soon, or about to start, I think, this week, the Grace Road, the Mont Panache, and the Bafnora Road for two very needy farmers in that area, the Bus Lagrass Road and the Denry Hospital Road. Those roads are the response of a ministry to what we see as a deficit even in that period. It's right, I just said Bus Lagrass. Bus Lagrass has been awarded, and we hope that work would have already been started. On the recon and rehab, however, post-budget, that is after the passage of this, in this house, we have a program of other roads which we hope to really deal with. And some of those roads are to go back and look at the Bella Road, the Chopin Ridge Road, the Two Rouge Marshall Road, the Clark Street American Dry Roll Road in Beaufort, Mont-Leblanc, right, in Abri, the Bois Joli Road in Denry, and the Zeno Road in Souffre. Those are the roads which are done for priority attention under the recon and rehab vote of the Ministry of Communications and Works. By the next quarter, we hope to look at the Fonkako Road. These roads are this quarter as soon as the passage of the budget. The other roads are the Fonkani Road, the Van Amillet, the Garden Grove Entrepot Road, Summersdale, Busy Main, Sarod Vanna, Carrasco Drive, Sanssouci, Pointe-Sette Drive in Entrepot, Mondi dans Bois Patate, and those are the roads which we shall give attention to as soon as the budget is passed. Mr. Speaker, it has been a very, very challenging time for us at the ministry, but I'm satisfied that with the support of the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, who readily came to our rescue and made the additional resources available in the face of a crisis, we have been able to respond in some measure. As we go forward, We have repositioned the ministry, we think, much more strategically to respond, and so we hope to be able to catch up with deficits. Mr. Speaker, let me turn to another matter and quickly put it to rest, which is the matter of the RDP 1, 2, and 3. Much has been said, there's been much speculation, typical opposition tactics. When we started, the usual response, you come and say you're not going to finish. But when it's finished, or what is ongoing, they get all kinds of things, cost overruns, this, that, and the other. It's too small, all kinds. Everybody's an engine. Mr. Speaker, the people of St. Lucia have a phrase which has really captured the popular imagination, cost overruns. That has just entered the political lexicon of this country. And people use it without regard to its relevance or its applicability. Mr. Speaker, however, all major civil engineering contracts make allowance for variations in the contract. That is for additional works to be undertaken whenever they are necessary. Mr. Speaker, this mechanism is in the contract to enable the client, in this case the government of St. Lucia, to change the scope of work in response to the exigencies of the situation. In the process, Mr. Speaker, whenever that necessity arises, the consultant would meet with the contractor, look at what needs to be done, and decide the course of action, but always, in most cases, trying to find and determine a rate prior to the work being done so that work can be done. In this regard, Mr. Speaker, RDP 1, 2, and 3 is no different. When we saw the progress on the road and we had concerns as a government, the Prime Minister, no less, it wasn't an outside force, it was a Prime Minister of this country who wrote to the President of a Caribbean Development Bank, Captain Board, and invited him to dispatch an appraisal mission to do an audit and an assessment of the work and how it was going. The mission came down, Mr. Speaker, and made an assessment of the RDP 1, 2, and 3. And some of what I'm about to see here is not new, because we had no qualms about sharing this information with all of St. Lucia. Because in our view, it merely confirmed what our suspicions were. And as far as we were concerned at the ministry, the output or the outcome of the report was quite benign. There is what it found, Mr. Speaker. It found that additional works had to be done. For instance, in response to telecommunication lines which were underground. Yeah. You designed the road, but there were no maps to show where the ducts for cable and wireless were beneath the road. And therefore, you could not know how to respond in terms of your work methods and your work approaches. Further, Mr. Speaker, the design call for the treatment or to deal with 8,000 meters of telecoms ducting. In the end, RDP 1 and 2 alone, we found 25,000 meters of ducting. Water, similarly, the water supply works. And all three contracts, we had to make significant modifications after the design and the award of a contract. Consult with WASCO, it made perfect sense to put in those 6-inch PVC mains at the bottom of the road. It made perfect sense at the time not to have to disturb the surface again and to install the 1-meter valve boxes at intervals so that future connections of the road could be facilitated. Mr. Speaker, it is significant to note, however, that those 6-inch mains, no matter what they cost, 10, 12, 15 million as we go back and we do the audit and we check it, is an asset belonging to the government of people of St. Lucia, which is equity in whatever new water contract we put in place. So this foolishness about this, that, and the other, cost overrun and so on, we have variations in the project. And those variations are real, and we're not going to run away from them. Mr. Speaker, a third source of annoyance of additional works with the identification of a borrow sources. A borrow source for the uninitiated, Mr. Speaker, is a place where you can go and get some teeth, some material, some stone and so on, which is appropriate so you can build the foundation of the surface of the road. When you dig up the road, you find you had more soft spots in more areas than had been anticipated. The rainy season did not help either, and so you began to look for the borrow sources naturally nearest to the points of construction. Let me give you an example. We thought, well, the contractors thought they had a borrow source, a pit where they could take that material from at Black Bay, owned by the NDC. Lo and behold, when they took a sample of material, sent it to the materials testing lab, they found out that the moisture content was too high, it had to be thrown away. They sent to Mount Kubari Estate, and another landowner in Dakite. Looked at it, spoke, discussed. The owners were uncooperative. Quite lift a big hole, it's going to leave a big pit in the person's land. The person said, no, I don't want to do it. The resultant effect, Mr. Speaker, is that the nearest borrow pit for the material was in Miku, in a Miku area, which is 3 times the haulage which had been anticipated. And those are the realities which can be audited and which can be looked at in terms of what we do. I'm not quite sure. It could be. I don't want to mention the name. I suspect I know him, but I don't want to mention the name. But Mr. Speaker, we also have other challenges, I've said. The 18 months of construction of those roads coincided with some of the most bizarre weather that we've had. We had no dry season for 18 months in this country. And that is, Mr. Speaker, that when you design a contract and you say a contract is for 1 year, a contract is for X number of days, the contract is predicated upon X number of dry days. That is what the contract is based upon. The contract is not based upon strange weather patterns so that you have no dry season over an 18-month period. That is the wettest period measured since 1989. Those are the realities that we face. There were other associated problems. For instance, Mr. Speaker, the contract was negotiated in pound sterling. We're talking about RDP 1 and 2. It's not going to happen for RDP 3. And we're all aware of the wild fluctuations in the exchange rate between the sterling and the dollar during that period. And therefore, one might say, why did you do that? They could have gone the other way. So no one had any way of saying. We've had a very low pound before and very high and stable US dollars. And could have gone the other way and beat us and made the savings. So that's a chance to take any time you're dealing with exchange rate fluctuations. That's what is going to happen. Mr. Speaker, the bidding process from the start had problems. The first tendering process, as is the custom, had a public opening of the bids. The public opening of the bids exposed the bid amount, the financial proposals of all the bidders. One bid was rejected. That tenderer threatened legal action, it threatened litigation. That would have held the project back by months up and on to court. The government, in its wisdom, decided the best thing to do is to cancel that tender process and start all over again. The resultant effect, Mr. Speaker, is that everybody knew what everybody else had put in their financial proposals. And therefore, people began to cut like crazy. And so we ended up with a bid figure, the lowest bid, which was just not responsive, and the job could not be done for that price. Let's compare the two amounts. The engineer's estimate for RDP 1 and 2 was $57 million. That is what they said realistically the road could be done for. The project was awarded for $43 million. $43 million. Those of you who have been following that project would know that the government was pilloried. The government was criticized. Our motives were questioned. Why you want to give it to not give it to the lowest bidder? is because you so-and-so, you want to thief and it's bubble and so on. So it's in the press, it's in the paper, and they know they wrote. And now we know from hindsight that the more realistic price for the project was exactly what the engineer's estimate had put in, which was $57 million. We take out the fluctuations, you take off one or two other ad works which are done, and you see the accuracy and the wisdom and the correctness of a government at this time. So, Mr. Speaker, we are now at a point where, in spite of all the prophets of gloom and doom, in spite of all the criticisms, the road is now complete. And those communities along that road are now happy and now have a road which has transformed the entire area. It's been suggested, Mr. Speaker, that we shall not open the road because of reason of cost overrun and so on. We won't open it. We are proud of this road. We will name it after three of our political heroes from that area. At the end of May, there's going to be a big opening ceremony. We won't open it. Come to Choiseul to the end of May, you will see the gala ceremony, the Prime Minister cutting the ribbon or whoever, but giving the feature address and say, we are proud of it. Half an hour from Viewfort to the hotels. We won't open it. You must have something else coming. Finally, Mr. Speaker, to close up that chapter, let me quote the Caribbean Development Bank. The Caribbean Development Bank in the present mission has this to say, the cost estimates developed for these additional works were found to be comparable to recent contracts awarded in St. Lucia and other borrowing member countries for similar works and are therefore considered reasonable. That is a quotation, page 8, from the appraisal report on the roads development program from the CDB. So, Mr. Speaker, as has been said to my right, amen to that. And we think that we now have a road which we think it is fair value for money, and we have nothing to hide, we have nothing to be afraid of. Mr. Speaker, let me quickly move on to the question of bridges. One of the achievements of this country, which goes unheralded, is that, you know, Mr. Speaker, that since this government, Kenny Anthony, took over this government, Labour Party, we built 21 bridges.
21?
Bridges. Between PRF, BNTF, between the bridges we've replaced and so on, and those we have here to be done, those four, including those four, and the World Bank project, 21 bridges. Continue. Given the topography of this country, given the vulnerability of communities having to cross rivers, and that is an unmentioned fact, goes unnoticed, everybody just, Gadi Sayovle, Layovle, CPI, Pay Digo, Tubugadi Sayovle. And this year, Mr. Speaker, apart from the RDP ones we've done, but the RDP has six. The RDP has six. Four of them within a 1 square mile radius between Grand Ravine, Grand Riviere, and so on. All in opposition territory. Do it for them. The long-awaited Limier Bridge, Mr. Speaker, that is down to be done. There's $980,000. The designs have been done, and that's going to be done. Under the World Bank Mitigation Project, there are three additional bridges which we're going to do under that project. And the MAC Bridge in Southeast Castries, the Lavier-Tibwa Bridge in Abri, and the Bourges River Bridge. We have a river which is crossing at two points, and the people of Debara, or the farmers on the Mackey Estate, we had to make a critical choice of one of the two, and therefore we've chosen to do instead Bourges River. So those are the four bridges, which brings it up to the 21, which will be done under this financial year. Flood mitigation, very quickly. A lot has been said about that. The Gravier, Groseley, Viewfort, and Millet bus stands have been relocated to facilitate the works. We are very satisfied, Mr. Speaker, with the arrangements for traffic management. Although there is some disquiet from the Groseley operators and Viewfort operators about some measures and so on, but we'll meet and talk about it. But as is a new custom in this country, you have to go to the media and express and say what you want. Interesting, Mr. Speaker, I was having a meeting with the Minibus Association, I think on Monday in my office, no, last Thursday in my office. I'm told they were in the media yesterday complaining about the arrangements made and so on. A project that we've taken so much time to communicate, to speak to all the stakeholders, including the minibuses. But we'll hear what the complaints are. I didn't see the clip on TV myself, and we're going to deal with it. The police, of course, must be thanked because they've done an excellent job. One would have expected to have chaos in the town, what if Bridge Street, what with the chaussee and so on, trying to ensure that there are no more floods in the city of Castries. But the police have cooperated, and so we hope that is it. No more flood in central Castries. No more flood in Castries Central. Get rid once and for all in Castries Central. The daily works, of course, that is ongoing, and just very quickly, in the interest of time, that the awards are going to be made by media, and so that's it. The George V. Park retention pond, that is one thing. The drainage works, exhibition on the chaussee. We're very, very pleased, Mr. Speaker, especially with the ancillary component of the job. The earthworks for relocation of a residence and the flood boundary walls next to the playing field are proceeding satisfactorily. The smaller of the two bridges near the playing field, that is substantially complete. The second bridge, however, on the main road adjacent to the police station, that is going to commence in 2 weeks' time. And the gabion baskets along the river to shore up the moved soil, that also will be started in 2 weeks' time. So as far as flooding is concerned in the city, but elsewhere, we are moving expeditiously to deal with this. Transportation and road safety, very quickly, Mr. Speaker. We have implemented a program in the ministry to ensure that the school zones are safe. And what we've done is put in place a very simple mechanism which is cost effective. And those are the solar powered traffic flashers in schools. This past year, we were able to do 7 schools based on your location. Corum Secondary, George Charles Secondary, Renvier Senior Primary, Cicero School, Sarah Simmons, Castries Comprehensive, Ogier Primary, and the PI Secondary. This year proposed on that same program to put those solar powered traffic flashers in the school zones. River Dore Combined, Chauzel Secondary, Canaries Primary, Barbolo Primary and Secondary, they are adjacent, Tiroche Combined, Deriso Combined, La Quamengo Primary. Mr. Speaker, there is, however, one area of concern, which is not a school. But we think, based on the representation of the member for library, we want to consider putting that same measure to solar power flashers at the junction of the bus Lagrass road in Abri. The road has been built, the road has been designed, but we think we need some additional measures to ensure that there are some traffic calming devices there. Going along, Mr. Speaker, still with transportation and traffic, we want this year to focus our signage on the town of Soufre and the town of Viewfort. That is marking the streets, no parking signs, all that major road ahead, etc., etc. Third major initiative, however, is to do the West Coast. The West Coast, a number of signs have fallen into disrepair. And so the third area of concern is that signage for traffic safety is concerned. The installation of new signs like hairpin bends ahead, slippery road, double bends, etc. We want to rehabilitate or replace existing signs, some of them are all covered with moss, eroded, etc. We want to rehabilitate the chevron signs, that is the sort of the arrows that show, by using a more cost-effective way of the inverted old culverts, so we could use that to put the chevron signs, all that is going to be done. In the process, Mr. Speaker, we shall cut the brushes around the signs and the junctions, which tend to obscure visibility. We shall also be installing crash barriers on the deep corners, especially those located near the gullies. In that same regard, Mr. Speaker, we notice that there is a field wall at the back of Government House. And so as soon as budget is over, we shall be installing a crash barrier on that piece of road just behind Government House to ensure the safety of the road. Mr. Speaker, we've had through the bad use of the road, through indiscipline, we think, through persons driving without due and attention, a number of accidents. One of the areas where the accidents have been happening with a sickening frequency is along the Grosley Highway, where it meets with the Bosage Highway. And so we have a plan of action, which is to install a few lights, which is to put down what you call the rumble strips, because we believe that those are less aesthetically obtrusive. Instead of putting those big humps on the road and so on, with the rumble strips might do, pretty much like what we've done outside of the Impala Beauty School, and put in some pedestrian crosses, linking, for instance, and make it easier for persons going to the Grosley Polyclinic or coming from the Bank of St. Lucia, going across to the other side where the fire station is. Mr. Speaker, another area of concern on the traffic management for our ministry is the issue of the vehicle width control system.
The honourable member has 15 minutes remaining.
But the road to
make his contribution. 15 minutes.
Go quickly. We build the roads, but the roads are designed for a time bygone. A time when we didn't have this proliferation of 40-foot containers, which have been stuffed all over St. Lucia. The roads were built and designed at a time when we didn't have 20-ton lorries hauling stones and aggregate from our quarries and so on. And so one of the things we have to do this year, Mr. Speaker, is we have to put a system of way bridges, both mobile way bridges and static way bridges, so that we can control and prosecute those persons who are causing wanton damage to the highways of St. Lucia. Those highways are expensively built, and so we can't just leave them willy-nilly to be damaged. Mr. Speaker, the question of cows on the road, we've been talking about this. I will leave this for the Minister of Agriculture. We have a joint committee, including his ministry and ours, to look at it. And I think those of us who use that road, who use the Catchers Grosley Road, will admit that there has been a lessening of the effect of those stray cows on the road. However, there are one or two other steps which have to be taken, and I think that there's an allocation in the budget of the Ministry of Agriculture to deal with putting the pond in place and the stand guns, etc. Enough of that. Mr. Speaker, the final point on the question of traffic management and transport is the putting in place of the trailer park. With the institution of the ISPS code, the International Ship and Port Security Code, we have sought to clear the Banan area of all kinds of parking and so on. We know it is a hazard to oncoming traffic to have those trailer beds there. We've spoken about it, persons have called on the public radio, and we hear the cry of the citizenry. We are just taking a little bit of time, be patient, we're working on it, we have identified some lands, but we need to do one more thing. That one more thing is to make an amendment to the Road Traffic Act to empower the minister with responsibility for transportation to be able to control off-street parking. Right now, the Act only empowers the minister to control and designate on-street parking. And if you're going to put the place as a trailer park, you must have the requisite legal power and authority so to do. Mr. Speaker, very quickly, an area of concern which is water. Water, I shall not dwell upon too much. I've been speaking a lot about this when we brought the bill to the House and the Minister, Prime Minister, in his submission, did speak about it. However, suffice it to say, at over $2 million allocated for the Mabuya Valley, what we shall be doing is putting a treatment facility at Tomazo for $300,000. And we shall seek to replace the 4-inch galvanized main pipe into 6-inch PVC at a cost of $230,000. At Denny Rivière, we shall similarly put a treatment plant, right? Double capacity, $575,000, and we shall repair and secure another tank, which is nearby. At Gadet, it shall be a new tank. We shall replace the 2 pumps, and once again, replace the galvanized pipes with PVC pipes. At Larissus, once again, the same thing, which is a replacement of a pipe, and all of that will come to just under $1.9 million, and we have an allocation of $2 million. Those projects shall naturally benefit the communities of Tomazo, of Grand Rivière, of Grand Ravine, of Lacaille, of La Poule, and Oléon. His territory, they get in everything, road and so on, and that's how this government works, Mr. Speaker. We don't discriminate. The days of saying that any bad tax, any legitimate. This government under Dr. Kenny Anthony, all St. Lucians, everybody getting a fair share. Much to our chagrin on this side, I must say, because we believe we maybe should get a little bit more and so on, but never mind. Stay over there. Say what you're saying. We shall still give you what's yours. With respect to the Denry Village, this has been much spoken about, and there's been some delay from because of the procurement and the administrative bottlenecks being experienced from the EU and the National Authorizing Officer. The Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, in response to that crisis, to that need, from local sources, made available the $1.5 million to put in the pipe now from the ERAD intake, so that the transmission line from ERAD to the Bajoli treatment plant could have been done now. We had to do it now, because that road is part of a TRRP road, and that project was being held up. Mr. Speaker, we don't do things crazily, willy-nilly. We plan it. We're doing new roads, we are modernizing it. We're doing new roads, we're putting drains on both sides. We're doing new roads, we're putting valve boxes, we're putting 6-inch PVC mains all over when we're doing new roads. That is how we're doing it, Mr. Speaker. That's how we're doing it. It's not just a question of like Bridge Street, and you go and you put successive layers of asphalt. Every 3 years, it's falling another layer of asphalt. Next thing you know, after each election, you could tell, you know, one election, one layer of asphalt on Bridge Street. Next election, next layer of asphalt on Bridge Street. So Bridge Street is 18 inches. Bridge Street is 18 inches taller than it was actually designed for. What is the result? The water is flooding the businesses on both sides of the road because the street level is higher than the drain intake. Papi show, Kene Moon. So we've come back now on Bridge Street, and we're doing it properly. We're shaving the road, reclaiming the surface, bringing it back down to 18 inches, and we shall put a 90-cent surface, so by jazz, we shall have one nice half of the road, and by the end of May, the entire Bridge Street shall be very nice, so that people can have a nice road. So that we in the city can have streets in the city of which we're proud, and we shall continue that treatment in the boulevard and on the other streets around Cass Street.
The honourable member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
Mr. Speaker, under duress, I move that Standing Order 32-8 be suspended to permit the Honourable Minister for Communications and Works an additional 1 hour to complete his presentation.
Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 32, Suborder 10, be suspended to allow the Honourable Minister for Communication, Works, Transport and Public Utilities an additional 1 hour to make his contribution. I now put a question. As many are of that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it.
Thank you, Mr.
Leave is granted, Honourable.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't trying to anticipate the House or just be presumptuous, but knowing that I control the vote for the roads and their water and so on, they dare not vote otherwise. So I was very confident that they would vote it. Yeah. Quickly with water, let me just quickly run along. We have a few major components under the World Bank project which have been done. Key One being the Salvin water intake, which is again putting in a 10-inch main in one direction from Talvin to the treatment plant at Hill 20, with a distribution line 6 inches going, 8 inches going opposite, direction, but distribution to the various communities. That project, funded by the Caribbean Development Bank under the Fifth Water Project, right, I've been advised, is now pipes have been substantially pressure tested, and the road reinstatement is about to commence. Mr. Speaker, that's a critically important project. It's important, Mr. Project, Mr. Speaker, because upon commissioning, it is not only going to alleviate the water problems of the Babono community, but it's also going to help alleviate the water shortages in the Bocage area, in the Castries East and Upper Masha areas. And therefore, it is critical that be done. Mr. Speaker, there are some other current undertakings by WASCO working in collaboration with the Basic Distress Fund. The Morgouge Water Project. This consists of replacing of 2-inch pipes with 4-inch PVC pipes. Already, the communities of Victoria, for instance, have been benefiting from this project. Again, it's linked with the construction of a new road from Victoria to Morgouge to Matin. So as we do the road, we're putting in a new 4-inch main. Very consistent, you could see, that is where we're going. WASCO, with funding from the BNTF, is undertaking 4 additional projects. Replacement of the Soldibus water tank, Forestier land upgrade, the Asla Verde water upgrade, and the Ambarmon and Beasley in the Castries North constituency. Mr. Speaker, that is not going to solve the water problems, obviously. It's much more than that. But we've spoken about our vision for the public-private participation. We've spoken about where we want to go in terms of capitalizing this new company to ensure that we could do the things that we need to do to ensure that solutions have a decent and a reliable water supply. We are confident that with the strategic vision, with the plans that we have going forward, that we can do those things. And critically, Mr. Speaker, much more importantly, as was spelled out by the Prime Minister in his budget presentation, we have a guarantee that within the next 3 years, that those new capital investments are going to come into the sector. But because of the influx of that new capital from the World Bank, we are guaranteed that this is going to be done without any additional tariffs. So the price of water today will be the same price that you're going to pay. It's going to remain frozen for at least the next 3 years. But we must do something. We must reposition that company. We must think about it, because we need significant new investment to get rid of the old infrastructure that we have for water and to modernize the sector, at least for 2007. And that's going to be part of our national legacy thereafter. Very quickly, Mr. Speaker, the question of energy. As you said, that the wind farm project that has been approved, the government of St. Lucia has facilitated this, and so by the second year of the experiment, we hope to be able to generate at least 6 megawatts of power from that source, in light and face of the high cost of oil and fossil fuels. We must find ways and means to diversify out of using this and use some more cheaper alternatives. Mr. Speaker, that is going to require us, therefore, during the coming legislative period, to look at the Electricity Supply Act. We have to change the Act to enable independent power providers, other providers, like the geothermal experiments now about to begin in Soufre, so that we could link this to the national grid and to have some impact on diversifying this essential source of our energy. Mr. Speaker, at last year's budget, we announced that Luselec was about to undertake a comprehensive street lighting program on the ring road all around St. Lucia. I'm pleased to announce that this project is almost complete. All the poles are now in place. The poles, for instance, between Soufré all the way down to Ancillary are now in place, even if the lights have not been commissioned. So as I said in last year's budget, when you fly over St. Lucia and you look down, you shall see a completely littering of all the roads right around St. Lucia, including the newly constructed RDP 1 and 2. Telecommunications, Mr. Speaker, very quickly. We have an Ectel 2, which is a new World Bank project to do a number of things. The benefits of liberalization are evident. Everyone knows, everyone sees it, right? We've had a 22% decrease of savings in our fixed line costs. Now, the cell phone is ubiquitous. Everybody has a cell phone. Some people have two, some people have three. The exchequer makes money because of a 10%, etc., etc. Jobs have been created, and so this has been a win-win situation for the government of St. Lucia, never mind the naysayers at that time who sought to discourage us as if we didn't know what we were doing. The new Ectel, however, there are a number of things which still need to be done. Mr. Speaker, those things that need to be done are as follows. The Telecommunications Act and Regulations of 2000 is already somewhat obsolete because technological change is so rapid, but the laws are static. And so, with the advent of convergence, which is using the same platform for your voice, which is your telephony, for your data, and for your video, that with broadband access right now, segmenting it and saying that you want different licenses for different activity, that already is posing a challenge for the regulators. And so we must begin to think in new ways of doing new things with voice over IP, etc., etc. And so that World Bank project, costing $3.8 million US for the 5 Ectel states, will help us to look at a number of things. Among them is to look at the new act, to do some training as one component. The second component, however, is going to have direct impact on our rural communities. And that is the question of universal access. When you were given the licenses in 2002, there are a number of dictates or a number of obligations which were being placed upon the operators. Those dictates, among them, are the question of universal access. And they were mandated at that time to place 1% of their gross earnings into a fund known as the Universal Service Fund. That is the fund that the operators, through a tender process, supposed to bid for in order to provide services in areas which are not economically viable. So the people of Fonds-Saint-Jacques, for instance, don't have access to telephone. Certain other communities in Richfond may not have access to broadband. You write to the company, say you want XYZ. The company naturally says, I can't provide this. Does not make sense. This is not economically viable. It's not profitable. A school may want something. The Marian home, the home for the aged. In the act that we passed, we were sufficiently far-sighted to put in this provision so that the consumer and the operator puts away this 1% to ensure that there is universal access to those services by everybody in St. Lucia. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, those things were proven to be contentious, and therefore we packed them aside, but now is the time for us to come back and re-examine them. That World Bank project will allow us to come back and do it, as well as putting some money to seed this thing so that $1 million US will actually seed and start up that process of ensuring that there is universal access to broadband of all of us in Lucia. Because the fact right now is the communities around Castries in certain parts of the island don't only have high-speed dial-up and so on out here, right? ADSL. They've moved from ADSL to XNET, and they're going to go even faster. So those who have are getting more. But those deprived rural communities don't even have dial-up service. To us, Mr. Speaker, as a government, that's completely unacceptable that in this age of telecoms and technology, that a child in St. Lucia does not have access to the internet. And so that is what this project is designed to do through this World Bank project. The third aspect of this project, Mr. Speaker, is to look at the whole question of ICT and as it relates to the use of broadband for industry so that we can get the call centers going, we can get the jobs going, and link St. Lucia and the various communities so that we can develop this whole new set of industries to create employment for our young people. But that cannot be done, Mr. Speaker, if the monopoly of the international access, which is a submarine cable that takes the traffic from St. Lucia to the outside world, is not dealt with. And so we have good news, Mr. Speaker, again out of the liberalization process, that we have a whole plethora, a whole number of persons showing confidence, showing a desire to invest in St. Lucia. In this regard, Mr. Speaker, we've awarded a license to Antilles Crossing, the Belgian Canadian Consortium, actually made the award, they've taken up the license to link St. Lucia via Barbados out of St. Croix and up to North America. We have another application, a license has been evaluated, has been approved for another consortium which wants to go south to Trinidad and to Latin America. But the most interesting of all those submarine cable applications and interests is that coming from a French initiative with grant funding up to 75% from the EU. If that comes through, Mr. Speaker, that there is already a cable from Puerto Rico to Guadeloupe, and we can do it through the DOMS from Guadeloupe, Dominica, Martinique, St. Lucia. If a second phase to go down into the OECS, we shall be in a very good position, Mr. Speaker, to use that platform for the economic benefit and to create jobs for solutions. So, Mr. Speaker, that is where we are in telecoms, not just about new phones or new cells and so on. Literally, every day, we award a new license. We award licenses for private networks, for the resale of international switch minutes, which, as you know, is people like Nectel, who might buy bulk minutes from cable and wireless, get their own cards, resell at a profit, and so that has some kind of a add-on effect of creating jobs and so on. Mr. Speaker, I don't want to go through this whole list of licenses. There are quite a number of them. So, very quickly, Central and Seaport Authority. As has been alluded to by the Prime Minister, there are two major projects being undertaken. One is the rehabilitation of the Northern Wharf, built hundreds of years ago when you only had small schooners coming to St. Lucia. Now, Mr. Speaker, you have big mega ships with what you call bow thrusters. When you moor on this and you put this bow on the thruster with all those thousands of tons and so on, it's actually been ripping the port apart. And so we've been advised that it is now in a state of what you call engineering failure. To tie a mega ship on this is to cause disaster. And so you've invested the money, but you've done it again with an eye to the economic well-being of the persons who depend upon Laplace Carenage, the well-being of the taxi drivers, of the various stakeholders in mind. And so we very strategically positioned the work to start in May of this year with completion shortly due by the 31st of October in time for next year's cruise season. Because, Mr. Speaker, we would hate to lose our cruise season, and so we're taking advantage of a supposedly slow period, although now, as the Minister of Tourism said, there is no seasonality in our tourism industries all year round. The George F. L. Charles Airport runway, that has been a source of concern for years. It's very rough, and almost all operators, all airline operators complain about the roughness of the runway. Six firms, regional firms and local firms, have been pre-qualified, and once again, we hope to be able to make an award, so by the middle of May, whoever wins the award will begin to mobilize. During the construction activities, what we're going to do is, if we have to close the airport, in a method statement of whoever gets the contract, they have been warned that it must not be closed for more than 5 days. And so this project, we hope, will begin by the middle of May and so end by sometime in the end of September. Mr. Speaker, I am very pleased and very happy, and I wish now to take the opportunity to thank the staff at the ministry for the way that they have really risen to the recent challenge, for it was quite challenging. Nobody likes to have a ministry where you're being pilloried and questions are being asked, competence is being questioned, and you just feel helpless at times. But with help from other, from Ministry of Public Service, from the Prime Minister, we're satisfied now that the ministry is in a whole new mode, and so we are better able to respond. Mr. Speaker, very quickly, let me shift gears and deal with a few constituency matters. Mr. Speaker, after 3.5 years representing the fair people of Babono, I have set some very high and some very stringent standards for myself. But even by those standards, Mr. Speaker, I am happy if I were to mark my own report card. Yes. Of course, the ultimate test of that report card will come soon when the Honourable Prime Minister decides. But as we're going along there, Mr. Speaker, I look at the report card and I reflect, and I think I have reason not to be unduly unhappy. Education, Mr. Speaker. I don't mind A plus, A minus, or straight A, but I believe it's in that range. The Babono Primary and the Francois Combined Schools. Those two schools will be retrofitted under the World Bank shelter program. The retrofitting of those schools, of course, will depend on the appropriate timing with the Ministry of Education so that we don't disrupt the school too much. I'm advised that both of the tenders are being evaluated, the awards, the recommendations have been made, 120,000 or thereabouts for the Babono and some 60,000+ for the Francois combined. But more critically, Mr. Speaker, quite apart from the leakage of the Francois school, the main building, which rains, when it rains, it leaks, is the replacement of an old building which was transplanted from Entrepot, I think, to Francois sometime by the previous administration. But Mr. Speaker, the people of Francois were used to being treated that way. They were used to being treated that way for years. They were always children of a lesser God. Always. Always. No, when it comes to these people, they're always. So now, But now it's time to set all this right. And so I'm pleased to see at the Francois school the construction of a 6 classroom block. Right? Meetings have been attended by no less a person, the Minister of Education himself. And so the evaluation report, yes, it's come to Francois, has submitted that report to the Caribbean Development Bank. And at the cost of $850,000, the 6 classroom block, be told, 16 weeks duration shall start sometime in November. Mr. Speaker, I shall not rest unless that thing is done. I shall be at the BNTF, at the minister responsible, the permanent secretary, for that project cannot be delayed, it has to be done. Postal services, we've changed, of course, the way we do business in St. Lucia. And the thing of going at somebody's home and looking and seeing if there's mail, maybe the person have a bad dog there, you can't come on the date where the dog will run after you and you want your meal. That is a thing of the past. All communities, we are modernizing, we're changing, and we're putting in place what you call two systems. Either a community delivery system or community letterboxes at a small peppercorn of $10 per year. And so, at Gara, Mr. Speaker, we've installed 250 letterboxes. So you have your box, you have your key, it could be midnight you're passing, there's a light, you know your number, you pick up your light bill, you pick up your money, you pick up your thing, whatever, and you go about your business. Americ in Lager, same thing. 520 boxes have been installed And those two projects, we shall be inaugurating or commissioning them pretty soon. Tourism, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Babono has no beach except Granite Beach, which we are using to optimum advantage. But we have a very exciting project, Mr. Speaker, which we wish to share with the people of St. Lucia. There is what you call an aerial tram. Mr. Speaker, lorsque je regarde sur la télévision, je suis au jardin, c'est pour glace sous la glace là. Donc, quand je sortis à l'émonde, je suis en train de se faire électrique. Le tram. Et bien, Mr. Speaker, nous avons un projet même comme ça, nous avons mis des chassins en Babono. Et là, nous avons fait ça, to pass on top of what you call the forest canopy. And that has already begun, Mr. Speaker. Il a commencé. During construction, we're told there shall be 60 jobs during construction. But more critically, Mr. Speaker, during the operational phase, there shall be 75 jobs for young people to be tour guides, etc. And when that time comes, we shall talk among our colleagues in terms of those who are living nearby so that they could apply. So, already on the other side, we're hearing about, employment, they don't give you employment figure. We're giving a job creation figure.
Yes, sir.
I don't give it. A job creation figure. Unemployment figure. Job creation figure.
Purposes.
Me let on load book, Mr. Speaker. Tule bo matia to radio. Just that one. Pup. You can coupe four. Rest. You can coupe four way. Para coupe four way. That's ridiculous. Me four way as the attraction shelter. C'est ça nous qu'a fait.
That's the project.
Ça nous qu'a fait, Mr. Speaker. Vous avez trois fourrés et vous avez fait un tout carré en fourré. Avec un hélicoptère, quand il passe les pylônes, et que vous avez droppé from a troop, each one. That is how it's being constructed. The pylons will be dropped from a helicopter. Yes, might be. From a helicopter, might be. Yeah, that's how it's been done. You're not disturbing the forest. And so we've been talking to the youth of farming. Yeah? So we've been talking to the youth of Farmato. And we want to take their fields for a six-week period. During that six-week period, so that we could mount up those pylons. Because it's important, Mr. Speaker, that we use the helicopter before the hurricane season starts. In return, the company has agreed, Mr. Speaker, to refurbish or to recondition the field, grasses and drains and so on, in return, and of course consider them favorably for whatever jobs are available. Mr. Speaker, c'est juste à la, the politics is the politics of Sokorama. Sokorama. Après Sokorama. So, tous les dimanches, you need Sokorama par ici, Sokorama par là. Right? And his friend. And his friend, yeah. Come up in Kakujiwa of radio, twinning for Sokorama. Yeah. Sokorama, Sokorama. I found a story for young Sokorama. I just dream on the two parts to give a game of football, you're hugging for a story. Mr. Speaker, tell by radio. Jibiki create a Pakagwa. Not gold. So when the field is finished, when the job is finished, we shall now start to see about Sokorama. Not yet. Mr. Speaker, in terms of other tourism activities, the Park City continues to thrive. You come on a weekend, drive to Lage, and the crowds are there. The Debara Turtle Watch, Mr. Speaker, for the Granans people, 19 young people, made $45,000 as does the extra income for the 3-4 months of turtle watching at Granans Beach last year, when the road was bad. Après un nouveau chemin, you could imagine if proper marketing was going to happen.
Yes.
But that's at Nibara. But that's not all, Mr. Speaker. That's not all. Last week, because of the environmental impact of that project, almost without asking, the Heritage Tourism Project was able to source another $10,000 or so from the Community Tourism Foundation of Barbados to come in and put in signage. So the new roads, not just will be a new road, but there shall be directional signs a dit qu'on ne peut pas perdre pour ça trouver chemin, pour ça monter grand temps de toute la voiture. That is what tourism at the community level is all about. Other communities, of course, like Fond Artisap, continue to thrive and we continue to work. Mr. Speaker, very quickly, for water, that continues to be a problem throughout the Babuno constituency. But as I said, with the Hill 20 Calvin plant upgrade, hopefully we shall be able to impact right on a number of other communities. There's a small project of which I'm very proud, which is the Talvin community where they had no water, and a very enterprising but very disingenuous person used to tap in to the raw water line and sell to the people in that small community. Oh yes, he is. Yes, he is. Except from your certain Muntu, of course he is. So now what we've done, at a small cost of $60,000, the 22 households in that community shall now have a reliable water supply with free connection, but we hope that after that, they'll be able to pay for the water. Fere Balata, some of the communities, still a very challenge, still can't get water, but we hope we could do that. In Debara, Mr. Speaker, the Prod project is there, but again, there were some difficulties linking back to the pump because, and that is causing problems. We went out, we spoke with Wasco, and now we've been told that the pump is being repaired and the lines are in the process of being sanitized. This is expected to be completed by next weekend, and those affected constituents who have paid for the deposit for connection will now be reconnected free and get a credit for the money that they've already paid. That takes care of water. Youth and sports. Mr. Speaker, at the beginning of my term, I had on numerous occasions to express dissatisfaction with the lack of action, the lack of activity in this area. Given my own background, my own interest, I was kind of disheartened that there was not enough happening there. However, Mr. Speaker, we've had a whole upsurge of activity recently. Let me thank firstly Mr. Mangal, the Ministry of Youth and Sports, for the refurbishment of a Babuno multipurpose court. It is now complete with new lighting, with markings and so on, and all we await right now is that we are waiting for the backboards and the hoops. We've been able to borrow two sets of hoops from a Tiroche court and have a few tournaments, but pretty soon we shall have a public opening to see what we could do. That's your part. We just borrow them for this game. Mr. Speaker, thanks to the Poverty Reduction Fund, the Balata multipurpose court is being built with community labor at this point for $200,000. Right next to the road, that is Poverty Reduction Fund, $200,000 community labor. That is going to be a 3-month duration. The young people are all working. They are all there mixing a cement themselves, and the impact should be tremendous. Mr. Speaker, we continue to provide sponsorship and support for all our major sporting competitions. The Babuno Cricket League is scheduled to commence in May, and sponsorship from a private sector to the tune of $4,500 has been secured. In this regard, the Balata playing field shall also be upgraded with the provision of running water, toilet, and a small scoreboard. That has been undertaken with support from the private sector. So every Sunday, beginning the month of May, you'll want to watch a cricket match between the various teams, the Babuno community. You go up either to Ivan Zebara or you come to Balata. No, proper cricket with all in white, resplendent white, your pads and everything. Roads and footpaths. Mr. Speaker, very often the observation is made that Babuno has roads or this road or that road. That is true. That is true. That is true. But don't believe that, like in all other parts of St. Lucia, that the deficit is not there, there are not roads to be done. I am being pilloried in certain communities where I'm very challenged. And let me just call them quickly. In Balata Mondidon, the Tishime shortcut, Savanaho, Upper Gara, the Pebush Road off the RDP 3, Timon, Kabish, Balata Mondidon, all of those roads in the community constituency of Babono, which are yet to be touched. So, Mr. Speaker, it's a case of what is the cordonnier mal chaussé.
Yeah,
so although I'm the shoemaker, Mr. Speaker, I still have no shoes. That is the reality. But we will see what we can do this year. Because no matter what you do, Mr. Speaker, no matter what you do, there will always be some roads in St. Lucia that is going to require attention. And so we try, as the exigencies of the ministry, as the resources become available, to see what we can do in terms of responding. We've been able, however, from various sources, to put in place two basic footpaths, one in Upper Balata, one in Upper Gara. But there's one project which must be done in this year. I'm looking in the direction of the source from which it must come. The people of T. Conway in Fonato must have their footpath this year. I want to change the image and the name of that community. We've done it before. A place is called Tubuist. We took it, we changed it. You came to the opening. Eh? We put toilets, we put footpaths, and we renamed the community, and there is a whole social transformation of that community. If we want to have a similar social impact, if we want to ensure that the social transformation takes place, we must put those footpaths in that community. All right? So I'm looking in the right place for that social transformation to take place this year. Electrification, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if there is one project which I feel proud about, you know why I feel proud about it? There's a little place called Poitou, where the farmers go. And when you go up to Poitou, and them fellas will see in there, and they want light. And we make one trip and you come back. And next trip and come back. And they say in Creole, all right, you are last vini. Depuis un temps bousqué, you are vini. Like you back a fait, you back a fait. Mr. Speaker, when I went up there with Trevor Luizzi, and 3 weeks thereafter, we put those lights in Poitou.
Oh.
And the farmers of Poitou, Mr. Speaker, can now diversify out of bananas, can now go into the poultry and into the pigs and so on, because now they have electricity. And they tell you, depuis un temps bousqué, nous allons rester où ça. Ce n'est pas aujourd'hui, ni hier, vous allez aller jouer un grand-père. Et que ça part de ta fête. So that gives me a certain amount of satisfaction. Similarly, on the other side of a ridge, Mr. Speaker, the farmers of Lanfort, they want electricity similarly so they can diversify from bananas into other agricultural pursuits. And so, therefore, we shall make sure that the $60,000 required for a long term for the Lanfort community is taken care of next year. Very quickly, Mr. Speaker, health. We've had great assistance from my colleagues to my right. There's a strategic plan for the healthcare needs of people of Babono. We opened recently a renovated Babono Health Center at the cost of $350,000. There's a second phase promised by the BNTF so that we can now upgrade it to a polyclinic. In the meantime, the Lage Health Outpost, designed to serve the people of Lage and the people of Bogis, has been commissioned, right? And next to come, under the CDB-funded health center renovation project, is in Fonasso. Don't begrudge Fonasso people what they get, chief. Don't begrudge them. People of Fonasso sit there with you. And therefore, that health center is down to be done under the CDB project to be done this year. So that's a comprehensive plan for people of Fonasso. Representation, sir. Representation. Land ownership. Two issues of land ownership very quickly. We had what you call a land registration and titling project under the Ancien regime some time ago. It's on our list. Okay, but it went over after the demise. Right. And a lot of people, Mr. Speaker, in the execution, in fact, lost their land. Because people were, those who were smarter went and put in claims and so on and got a title. Well, we know that. So in Bourges, we have one such case. Where persons who claim that they had been living on the land, all to the ILU, to the FOMIO, before to Generation U, but now the land is sold to a person within the community who has since resold the land to another person, an entrepreneur, and so the people have been threatened with eviction. Luckily, a strict intervention, timely intervention, some pieces prevail, and it's agreed now that the persons will be given title to where they live at the bottom of the land to allow the developer access to the rest of his land. In this regard, Mr. Speaker, we want some assistance from a Ministry of Physical Development so that we can go in there and do some rationalization to ensure that people get some title to this land. Second land issue very quickly is that at the accession of power of this government, deceased David John, we went to Debara and we promised the people of the 2,000 acres of a Grenland estate, we would excise 200 acres of it to put in a scheme for young farmers and for the people who are landless in the area. That action, that promise, has since been followed up by Cabinet. A task force is in place, and I would like to urge the Ministry of Agriculture, the planning unit, which is charged with that responsibility, to expedite that process so that we do not go to another election with that promise unmet. 200 acres that to give up people in this area has to be done. Mr. Speaker, very quickly, something that just came to mind is that we're building a road at Bourges. I'm told the people who are on television just recently this evening and complaining about the dust. Mr. Samuel de Simuna, Sabinson, Sinu Cafe Chimia Chimia Babon, Saint Lucien to en patiente, chaque lettre, tout le monde pour tout bagay, le pour mener télévision, pour y aller, pour y faire chicane. Ça pas ni pièce, ça pas bouger chicane. Les 10 mois de sous chimia, je parle de ces gens-là, je dis ça, je vais faire, je vais entrer en main pour me mettre goudon à sous chimia. Si je mouille chimia le bon matin, à calter sur les choses à nous dire, les machines passées, 10 minutes de temps après ça, toute la poussière qui a été levée, monsieur le Speaker. Puis ça va mouiller, il a été sec. Je ne comprends pas, si nous l'argent nous ça mouiller, je ne comprends pas pour mouiller. Mais c'est pour mouiller toute la journée. Tout le temps, c'est pour mouiller. Puis plus vite qu'il mouille, à calter sans ça la nous dire, machine passée, la poussière qui a été mouillée. Pour moi comprendre ces gens-là, nous avons ça nous a fait, mais c'est un problème à cette liste. Quantité de travail qu'a fait, nous chaque les pas qu'à ni goudon, si nous déjà ni goudon, nous les avons mis des goudons à sous-chimère, pour la sous-chimère, pour un problème ça la matériel. Goudon et ça. So, pour une patience, on a passé là, de M. Bodjet ou pareil au moins, mais samedi on a passé, et que nous allons parler, et que nous allons résoudre ça, ça pas un problème. Monsieur Speaker, Mr. Speaker, let me close. Mr. Speaker, opposition can dit d'affaire job on employment, budget la pas bon, ça qui veut faire premier ministre, ça qui veut faire premier ministre, si c'est one, si c'est two. Car je suis économiste, d'être riche. Mr. Speaker, I'm a simple country boy. The list of hotels which are here, Mr. Speaker, the landing at Rodney B, the beaches, the new standards, the St. James Club renovation, the facelift to the Rex Resorts, the Bay Gardens expansion, the Lagoon Park at Rodney Bay, Cocoa Resort at Rodney Bay, and the Shark Bay Marina. All those hotels are in the north in the Groseley area. Mr. Speaker, the workers for those hotels ain't coming from nowhere if a significant amount will come from Babono. Mr. Speaker, they ain't coming from nowhere if a significant number of them are ex-banana farmers. Mr. Speaker, the people who operate those hotels are coming from nowhere if a number of them are not the children of those very same farmers who come and see me every Friday looking for jobs and I have no answer for them. It's very simple. All this pretend economics, and you don't understand what you're talking about. It's a very simple matter. There's a simple ratio to rooms and jobs in the hotel industry. There's a simple ratio. And if all those hotels are coming to being, what is this big cry about? What is this about? Jean Babo, no se yo ki kay sape job pou yo fè travay, pou yo fè mason, pou yo fè chafantye, pou yo fè pis. Se yo ki kay a hotel la, ka fè se travay la, kin pou fèt la. So I, Mr. Speaker, mwen pa jeme wè ma la hotel, ek robot kaba mwen wè. Se moun, se jen fi, se jen nom. What foolishness is this? What foolishness is this? This economy is being repositioned. We are in transition. Has been repositioned. And so the people in the rural economy, more taxi drivers. But nous pouvons même parler les tis, les gym pour nous vendre dans ces hôtels là. Puis on dit pour moi, hey, we don't even looking at all that. Pour carottes, we don't even looking at that. Cochon, porc, poulet. We don't even looking at all of that. So what is this about? What is this about? What is this about? So Mr. Speaker, we are always late. A lot of us have other things we prefer to go and do. I know, sir, because we have other things to go and do. And therefore, I shall not keep us long. Did you say the witching hour? There was a witching hour on the perpendicular plane. What is it, the perpendicular? Oh, yeah, the horizontal plane and the witching hour is there. So, Mr. Speaker, thank you. Thank you, my colleagues, for bearing with me for so long.